understanding of sharing. Tonight's cheer is sponsored by Dr. Saul Lightman, DMD. He was jealous that Dr. Farkas got all the hype last week, and he said he will be redoing his office. So is there a real reason for the sponsorship? I know, but I'm not going to say it. So there's a real reason for the sponsorship, and it's a covered gadol for those that he'll tell you at another time. But I thank you for your sentiments. Just this evening, surprisingly, I don't know how this happened. I'm a little nervous about this. Sometimes in my life I have these situations where things happen and you start to realize and appreciate some of the Gedolei Rabbanim. So I was having a conversation with a Rav, and who happens to be of the Hasidish mantra, and I was going to ask him about my shir tonight, because I'm sure he would have some insight. And I didn't even get to say anything, because I want to tell you a good vort on the parsha. And he told me over the vort, and I was like, whoa, he doesn't even know. And then I couldn't even answer, because I was in such amazement, I didn't even discuss up sharing with him. Basically said, in this week's parsha, we know that one of the ways the zchuyos that Yaakov Avinu knew right away that Rachel was for him was because of her tzidkus, and recognizing right away who Rachel Imenu was. And in fact, when she warned him and said that my father is a Rasha, you shouldn't go to his house, she says, don't worry, I can trick him just like I trick others. So she said to him, I thought you were a tzaddik. A tzaddik doesn't do that. So explain, no, it's a, whatever, hold machlekes, why it's mutter, but fine. So this Rav asked, he says, what's the chiddush here? How old was Rachel? So we learned that she was only 3 years old. He said, what's the chiddush? She's 3 years old, wow, she didn't learn from her father's ways. And it just tells us that she was such a tzaddikas because she knew the ways were not the right of her father. So, big deal. That's such a mile of 3 years old. What's she going to know the difference? So he thought that this was a raya to teach us that already at 3 years old we can tell how a child is being shaped. So even though he didn't have no idea what I was talking about, I thought that was a very good segue to start this year. We learned already last week, and that's of course the impetus in doing this topic, this idea of the importance of the third birthday. Just to give a background of what we discussed last week, we'll see some of it inside. So we said that there is a Darkei Moshe and a Ramah, black and white, that speaks about the godless of the third birthday. And that the fifth birthday, of course, is when a child has to be start to go ahead and bring them into the cheder, to the school. And then we quoted the Darkei Moshe, quotes the Barbanel, that quotes the Medrash Tanchuma about the importance of this. So I thought that it would be nice to do that Medrash Tanchuma mamash inside. So here's the Medrash Tanchuma in source number one. Before we start, I just will say my story to start is I remember my first upsharing, and it might have been my last upsharing, when I was in high school. I should actually start off by knowing who the crowd is. How many in the audience have had their child had an upsharing? Not has been to an upsharing, but had their child.
My kid's upsharing. Thanks a lot.
Oh, right, with the tzitzis, yeah. With the tzitzis cake. Yeah. Okay, good. So now we'll have some good Torah. Until Larry gets here, I could go for the Mount Chassidus shine for a moment. Good. So we'll discuss, don't worry. So and the sponsor, so I have to be careful. So my first, the one that I remember actually was a family member of mine, my cousin. And the reason why they were mocked at the habit of sharing, besides the fact that it was the first boy that they were having, was because Rahman al-Assad was very sick as a baby. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. I just remember in high school, and Baruch Hashem, they finally recognized that it was in fact, he had diabetes, Baruch Hashem, which was treatable, and they decided instead of making a Sudas Hodah, they wouldn't cut his hair for the first 3 years, and that when he was three, they would make an upsharing. It was my first experience. So they went all out with this upsharing because they actually bought, this is pre-eBay, but they found at an auction a barber's chair, which they purchased, and all these different beautiful menhagim, which I'm sure, I apologize for those people whose upsharing I was at. I saw these gorgeous menhagim, everybody throwing dollars at him, and the sweets, and all these beautiful things. And clearly, it is a beautiful minhag. And despite whatever we say at the end, that we should keep in mind. So Midrash Tanchuma, source number one, tells us as follows in Parshas Kedoshim. pretty early source. So when we're talking about, we said last week about Orla.
More sheets?
There should be in the back. There should be. So we're talking about Orla. So it says Orla. So this pasuk's really talking. Look at the Mishnah Chur. Hakasim edaber v'tino. It's talking about children. Shalosh shanim yilachem Orla arelim. We pointed out last week that there are those who hold mamish leganai, that a child until 3 years old is not really even called a Jewish. He's not a full-fledged Jew. How can we say that? Because he's like an Orel. He had the bris, but the final seal of the bris is when the child's 3 years old. Why? Because we said, that's when he becomes a real Jew. He starts to talk, he starts to do mitzvahs, then he's a full-fledged Jew. Zot the Midrash. The Midrash says, Shol Shanim Yalachem, right? Leilim, then what happens? Obashan HaSarviyas, he had three Kodesh. Then on the 4th year, that's when we get the pre-Kodesh, that's what we call Kodesh Ulum HaShem, She'avim Mekadesh LaTorah. That's when he's Mekadesh the child of the Torah. So it's not until that time that we know what's going to go on. She'bashah Shehu Mahalel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, U'bashah HaSachamishi, so that's when you're allowed to already have the pre-O, the 4th year is Kodesh Ulum HaShem, and then the 5th year, that's when he starts to learn Chumash. Okay. So this, of course, is a great source to say, this is the source, right? Anybody who's giving a drasha, and I apologize, I'm not going to say who, a number of months ago asked me for a good vort on upsharing. I didn't even know I would be doing it later on, and I said, this is the only vort that I know. This is the vort that I've heard everybody say over and over again, right, about the Arelim and the Orla, and that's really what the vort is. But the truth is it has a great mocker, because we see that the Darkei Moshe quotes it, the Ramah quotes it himself, and we quoted that beautiful Noam Elimelech, the Noam Elimelech, which says that it's actually based on a Gemara. We didn't quote the Gemara last week. The Gemara is the one that says that Avraham Avinu recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam at 3 years old. And the Noam Elimelech proceeded to say that that's 3 years old. That's when a child is developing. That's when he can talk, and that's when you start to realize. That's when you recognize. Okay. So I do want to just, I think it's very important for a moment to say that there's two dinim here, right? We have to bifurcate both the two aspects of what upsharing is. Upsharing is a cutting of the hair. That's one din. And the second din is something that is very unique, which we explained last week, which there is certainly more makor for, which is what the Darkei Moshe quoted as this minhag of learning, of teaching the child the osios, of having the beautiful laminated aleph bet sheet and putting honey on it and having the child recite it and lick the honey. So that is two different dinim, because look at the Mamloyes. The Mamloyes in Parshas Ekev also says something beautiful as well. So the Mamloyes says as follows. This is not, we'll see. We're not going right now in order of, one of the things I will prove from tonight's shiur is that the upsharing was not invented by the Hasidim. That's going to be an important thing. It was not an invention by the Hasidim. Oh, Larry's here already? It was not an invention by the Hasidim. You'll see it's a much earlier source. So the Mamloyes says, again, the Mamloyes, Rav Kuli, so this is, again, not so Chedushim. This is from already from the 1700s, 1685 he was born. So he says as follows. U'kishamvim hatina kama rishona l'rabo l'amitoris. So one thing we should import, I don't know, I was thinking about maybe doing it next week because it's a topic within itself. The Hasidim have a gorgeous minhag, which if it's Tzareinu HaRabim, I think Y&J should take this along, all the other yeshivas, Noam and all that. What yeshivas do you? What? No. What are the other yeshivas in Israel? And all the Rav Kook yeshivas, okay. So the minhag is that when the child is brought to cheder on the first day that he's 3 years old, it's a mamish, a big simcha. And the svarim write about HaKadoshim, write about it, it's unbelievable. There's a sefer which someone borrowed, I borrowed. What did I do? Called the Netzach of Real. So this is mamish, an unbelievable sefer. Because this is not, he has, I don't know, at least 20 svarim. He's a contemporary poisek. His name is Rav Zinner, of Gavir Zinner. He's, when I was a kid he was famous because he was the first one to give Ashkacha to Aspi Samanti, right? It was something that wasn't kosher before, I don't know, he was able to give the Ashkacha. He's a Hasidish guy and he writes his books, so this is a small book, all this is about upsharing and the first day of Cheder. That's all the Sefer is about, and he has this humongous svarim. Unfortunately, they're a little bit too expensive for me to purchase because every single one is a different inyan, so it's like, but it's really unbelievable. Except, of course, it does paint a little bit to the Hasidic side, so that's why it was good for this inyan. But, so we see over here as follows. Let's go back to Rainier. So they make such a beautiful simcha, they bring a talus and the child, right? But then we see that there's something different which is transformed, and that is to bring the child to the Rebbe. That's more common. So the Yaakov Me'am Lois, I don't know which side of it he's speaking about, but what happens? So he says, how should this occur? Right? So you get up, and you have to wear big day Shabbos, and the child wears big day Shabbos. Right, you should put him in nice clothing, and then you go, and you go to the chacham. Right, they go into the rebbe. The lokeach chacham. Right, okay, and then so he gives all the different things. He takes the laminated aliphate, and he teaches him the aliphate, and he says. Ospa, Ospa, Achach, Omrim, HaPosuk, Torah, Tzivah, Lan, Emotion, he's dipped it into Vash, Nosim, Ma'at, Vash, right? Again, we're talking about the 1700s already, this is quoted, Ala Tzvala, Via Shela Alephaz, Via Ospa, Nosim, Leilech, Lelechaz, Vash, Vizdeh, Simon, Shiyu, Zivar, Torah, Mesukim, Mephiv. As we pointed out before, the great board, the Rav Asher White, said Torah has to be sweet. If the child doesn't realize and recognize the child is sweet, we're going to be in Gahakasar. So he says, V'ayir la'av la'aim, l'sar is supposed to ha'yom, v'yispa'al Hashem Yisparach, it says, day of tefillah, when the child reaches the age of 3, sh'nogim b'yom zeh, la'aso suda, shel simcha v'shel l'shem zamirah. Right? So this should be a tremendous suda mitzvah for this great day. Here, if anybody needs sheets. Yeah. Okay. So that this day is a day of great simcha. So we see already, again, I just wanted to show that there are two dinim. Just because you're not a chassid doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow source number two. I understand not in the grand way that the chassidim do it, right? We pointed out one of the members of our shir who went up the square it's very interesting. I forgot to call him to ask him this. We'll see later on. The square actually has a minug, but I think they changed the minug. The square minug used to be that an upsharing in square happened at the age of 2. Why? So I think this is the reason. One of the sources we quoted was, of course, the Orla. There are three other reasons. Two reasons are the pasuk that we say we said a few weeks ago, right? That Avram made a mishteh for when his son stopped weaning. And Rashi says, what was the age? And Bereishis Chafalov, Vayudol Hayeled, Vayigomol, Vayoso Avram mishteh. What mishteh? So Chafdal Chodesh. Now you make a party when the child, even though, right, this is a halacha, that we consider chaftal chodesh something very important in a child's life. Certainly for the wife, it's even more important, because most summer, she probably, even if she's not breastfeeding, she probably doesn't have to fast first chaftal chodesh. But we see from Rashi that already at 2 years old, there's a shtickle Indian to make a, I'm just using the Yiddish word, because it's chassidish before. it's not fair, right? So to have some sort of simcha. So that's why there were those who took it. Also, if you look at Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, so over there it says also Shmuel Navi probably took over the reign around the time of being 2 years old, not 3 years old, and they made a big mishteh. I'm fine. There are others that quote this Minhag, Nikilas Yaakov. They say that by Nikilas Yaakov, by his grandson, he Dafka said he should do it by 2. They do say that by the Square Chassidim, one source I saw says that they went back on the minhag, then they said it's better to do it at 3, but they always used to do the kriyas ha'osios, that davash and the whole thing, they used to do that at the age of 3. So I'm not sure exactly what the source is over there. No. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying that there are two things here. The Ma'amloyas is only speaking about, and there's nothing to do with cutting the hair. Obviously the Mezhtan Chuma doesn't speak about cutting the hair either. What they speak about is something special about the age of 3. The Ma'amloi says that what's special about the age of 3 is the time we all right, there's nothing to do with cutting the hair. And that my point is that I understand why it's not such a big simcha, right, which I try to figure this out, right? Why, and we'll see in source number 3, so why is it that by the Litvish of people, this has become nothing? I'm not aware of it at all, except for some people accepting upon themselves now that we should all have upsharing, because I found out that my great-great-grandfather, you know, like now they, all the politicians, it's a big zach, to find out while you're running that you have your 1.25% Jewish. You know, like, so here, really, Hasidish, I found out, no Meli Melech, I'm related to, fine. So look what the Shavuot on August, and we'll basically summarize it. We said, by the way, last week, we quoted that Gra. The Gra said last week, I'll just quote it outside. The Gra said last week that he said, what do you mean, lav dafka, that the age is three? He says, the Gemara says that do we start teaching the pasuk Torah Tzival on a Moshe? At the age when a child starts to talk. And he says, that's the Iker. Even though you have this Medrash Tanchuma that says the age is three, he says, it's a very nice board to say, Orla, four. He goes, but the tachlis is, when the child starts talking, that's when you should start teaching him Torah. The whole inyan that we consider a child, like, not Jewish until he's three, is not the age of three, Zuck the Grah. It's the age that the child can start talking. And if he starts talking, he's a genius. He starts talking at 1.5. That's when you start teaching him Sukkim. What, he should say other things? He should start singing Barney songs instead? No, he should start teaching him some Torah. I apologize for the reference. So source number three, Zuck the Truth on August, had the Shiloh. The Shiloh was asked in the Chelik Beis, Simon Hay, something we're really not familiar with, but we should become more familiar with, about Netilas Yadayim by cutting of the hair. So it could be that Mishana HaTeva now, that nowadays that, for number one, our bathrooms are different, that they are not the way the outhouses were of the time. It used to be that any time you went into the Beit HaMerchatz, you always had to wash Negel Vasa. That's probably because all of the vestibules inside of there were open and they were all mamish disgusting. Nowadays, so it's quite possible, first of all, as we have, for example, in the shul, you could actually walk into the ante room of the bathroom. It's not even the part of the bathroom. Halachically, probably requires a mezuzah. And you could wash the nagabash, you make brachas and everything. And then you go into the bathroom, which is mechutz lazeh. Question then becomes about this. What about when you get a haircut? So really the halacha is that when a person gets a haircut, when they cut their nails, you know, all these things are supposed to wash negelbasser. So now there became this minhag that you can't just have a stam and upshur. People could tell me what they did. Right? Tremendous kavod is the first hair that's cut, or whatever, the second, the third, is by a rav, by a tabot kavod. It's quoted, we'll see, we'll quote in halacha. So he asked, she was on others, now all these rabbanim, oh my god, they got to go to these upsharing, and then they got to wash negelbasser. So Sturbach, so he says, no, gudavakesh, Rabbanim v'chashuvim legaleach, right, from the child when he reaches the age of three. He points out parenthetically that his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, he says like this, Maran agris zatzal, abesim de brisk, shamati, delo shmi'olei kolomar, lo svirolei. Right, he didn't like this, that the Rabbanim should go ahead and cut the hair. I know this is really shocking that the Brisker Rav didn't like this. V'kadai levakesh bracha b'yom shenis lo Torah. He goes, I'm not saying that they shouldn't come for a bracha. You think a bracha is only chassidus. They always tell this story over in the name of many. I mean, I witnessed it myself in Rav Aaron Shir. Nebuch, a Svardi, didn't know what he was getting into. He asked Rav Aaron for a bracha. You know, the old shakal and the Ebizvar. He says, you don't need a bracha. And then at the end, he said, okay, Rebbe, you're not going to give me a bracha. So he says, thank you very much. And Rav Aaron put his hand out to shake, and he kissed his hand. So Rav Aaron was not familiar with this. And when the boy left, so he asked me to close the door, and he said, did he just kiss my hand? I said, yes. I said, you know, by the Sephardim, it's a minhag covered of this and that, and I told him the story over the Rav, where Vada Yosef kissed the Rav, and the Rav said, what are you kissing me for? And he said, if we kiss a Sefer Torah, Kal v'chomer, we should kiss a walking Sefer Torah. Still, I don't think the Rav liked that answer. But, okay. So over here, he said, but you should go ask a bracha. There's nothing wrong to say, now my child's going to school, just like the Ma'an Lo said, it's his first day in school, so what should we go ahead and do? Okay, you should ask for a bracha. You dominate the bonus, ask for a bracha. The child should, Baruch Hashem, be a child that's able to learn Torah and so on and so forth. So fine, he says, despite the fact that the Ramah does say the idea of Gimel Shanim, so it's important, but as you pointed out in the last line, according to the Gra, he says, it's La Dafka, that's the age of three, could be two, and he says, and the Brisker Rav finally said, that Ein Bazet Tam V'Shorish, that he feels that there's no Shorish, there's no Tam for the minhag of the cutting of the hair for the gadol. And furthermore, I've seen quoted they say in the name of the Chazon Ish from the Brisker Rav, and then I heard from the Stipler as well, that somebody once asked the Stipler to cut his child's hair, again, much earlier on, when it wasn't as popular as it is now. And he says, I'll tell you what my Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, well, not my Rebbe, but the Brisker Rav said, I'm not a barber. Go to a barber if you want to cut your child's hair. Okay, so that could be, it's not a true story. But then they tell over the story that the next day, the stipler went over to this father and he said, I didn't sleep all night. It was terrible what I said to you. I shouldn't have said that. You asked me to do a favor for you. Of course I should, you know, cut your child's hair. Whatever. But it's quoted in the name of the Brisker Rav that the Brisker Rav did not like this minhag of cutting the hair. And he didn't think that it was a good minhag. Okay, that's nice. So at least let's understand the other view. The other view is a view that's going to say that this is going to be where we're going to clash. Where we're going to clash is that there's a minhag here. I will prove tonight that the minhag is not a chassidish minhag. It comes way before the chassidim came onto the scene. But, the chassidim are very much more well known for the, and the svardim, but I think they're very similar in many ways, for the enriching, minhagim that they have, as opposed to the minhagim of the, Litvisha people, which are beautiful in itself, but there are certainly more chassidish minhagim. There always was a clash when the chassidish sect first started. Of course, we know all the stories. And it shouldn't be that way today, but we should recognize that whatever comes to Minhagim, so generally the Litvisha people, let's put the Brisker Rav on top of that list, at least for what we see here, so they were opposed to a lot of the Minhagim that Hasidim established. Now, as we'll see in a moment, so I'm not so sure that this is a Hasidim Minhag. Yeah?
When you say it's not a good Minhag, why not? I mean, there are Minhagim that are not good because they lead you to do...
Right, so that's a great question.
It's not a good Minhag.
Right, so that's what I want to say. Right. So the shaila is like this. Those that follow the Gra and follow the Brisker Rav and those type of things, so they thought that there was a big problem, quote unquote, inventing new minhagim, right? And saying that this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be a whole ceremony, it's so important, this and that. We'll see later on that there are some of the minhagim that actually some of the Hasidic Rabbanim were against. For example, there are many who know from the upsharing it has to be on Lag BaOmer. No matter how old the child is, Lag BaOmer is the time to do it. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael. It's very popular. So some of the Chassidish Rabbanim said, what are you talking about? The Zach is to do it on the third birthday of the child. I don't care when it is, that's the third birthday. Obviously, if it's on Shabbos, you can't do it. The Svardim, by the way, take it the other extreme. The Svardim say, Chol HaMoed Dafka. To show how beautiful the Simcha it is, normally you can't cut hair on Chol HaMoed, and we even allow it. We'll see that later on. So where did Minhagim come to play? What?
Is that any Chol HaMoed? What you just quoted, any Chol HaMoed?
No. So the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it doesn't apply to, that cutting a child's hair does not, let me back up for a second, doesn't apply to children. It seems not to apply to children. The question is who's going to cut the child's hair? But it probably would be mutter for a parent to cut a child's hair. We'll see later on, by the way, about these questions. Let's say, l'chachila, your child's born, and you decide you're going to do an upsharing, and let's say the child, let's say the child gets lice. And the doctor suggests that they have to start to cut some of the child's hair. With child's, like, the hair is like crazy, right? So we'll see that type of case is what a person does. Obviously, it's a cool snap, which we're not going to say. Or it's in the child's face. What do we do? Or the child's getting, right, let's say the child doesn't go to a chassidish school, and everybody's saying, why is there a girl in our class? I don't understand. Right, okay, fine. So let's look at so the next step is I want to try to show how this is not a chassidish minhag. It is a chassidish minhag, but how it came before the scene. Oh, so your answer to the question is that why? So that this is the classic debate between chassidim and misnagdim. And that is that they didn't understand while the school of thought of the Baal Shem Tov, what they believed was inventing new minhagim, new customs that had no source and no time. To take from me a Medrash Tanchuma and to say that applies to cutting a child's hair, where clearly the Medrash Tanchuma doesn't say that, they said this is not appropriate. Why they opposed dafka to this? Oh. So that could be because of, this is hard to say, there is a source in the Tziv who says this, and a few other tshuvas that I never heard of, so I didn't quote them, and that is that this was a chukas ha'akum. Because apparently the Yishma'elim used to do this, that this was a custom of the Arabs, that they had this party, they had a party when a child was 3 as well, and they cut the child's hair. And, if you're going to say that the source probably came from the more smarter Sederach, so it could be that that's possible, that the Sfarim obviously lived in the Arab countries. So I'm not sure about that. So that could be one reason why dafka this minhag. Why all minhagim, there's all this haram, so that I don't want to get into, but you're correct on both sides. As we pointed out before, there's two famous Sfarim, there are many famous Sfarim on minhagim. One is Shoshe Minhag Ashkenaz, which is obviously Rav Hamburg's paper, obviously about the German minhagim, where he writes a whole long explanation why the German minhagim were so important and why we have to keep them. And then you have the Minhag Yisrael Torah, which is Rav Lowy's sefer, which is more Hasidish minhagim, where he writes a whole introduction as well, pages and pages of why the Hasidish minhagim are correct. We're not going to solve that tonight. But at least we're all sitting around the same table. So the Shaar Kavanos, Rav Chaim Vital, writes as follows. So Rav Chaim Vital, as we know, was the student of the Arizal. Chaim Vital, 1593 to 1620, where Arizal came onto the scene, so came to Eretz Yisrael, 1543, so he came to Eretz Yisrael about 1570, they say. And of course he came to Sfat, and Reb Chaim Vital was introduced to this Arizal, and it was unbelievable to him. And of course he was the one of the chief disciples. So Nishar Kavanas, in source number 4, he says as follows. Minit Shinog Yisrael Aleches Balag Ba'omer Al Kivrei Rab Shimon Bar Yochai Rab Yelazar Beno Hakvar Bimurom. Where'd that come from? The Oakland, the Shosun Sechem Sham. This is a minog already. We know already. Again, obviously, this is going way back. So he says, Ra'isi Lemoiri Arizal. I saw this by the Arizal. Shehalach L'sham Lulag Ba'omer. Shehub Chol Anshe Be'isol V'yoshah Sham Shloshes Yomim. Wow. So they were there, and they were there for 3 days. V'zehaya Pan Rishon Shabbat in Mitzrayim. When the Arizal came to Mitzrayim, that's what he did. The first like Lomer, they spent 3 days there. Abayin Eneyodea. Emaz Haya Baki V'yodah V'chachmas Anifla Shesiga Akaf. I can't attest to the fact that on that first year, he was the Arizal as we know him today. So then he says that he heard over in the name of somebody else that, hey, shekodim shalachti lomad etzel moiri, before I went, holech rabbeinu ha'ari, es b'no ha'koton l'sham, im kol anshe beso, that this thing that you're talking about, the first time that he came, which again, Reb Chaim Vital did not know who the Arizal was. He wasn't there for the incident, but that first thing, why did they doubt to go there? Visham Gilchos as Rosho Kemina Kayadua, and his son, who was 3 years old, they cut his hair. Vyaso Sham Yom Mishta Basimcha. Vyeshor Zuminakandahal. Zok Reb Chaim Vital, right? Whatever you want to call it. 1600s already. Before the Baal Shem Tov was even on the scene. Right? So Baal Shem Tov is talking about 1700s. So here you have already in the 1500s a shorish for this minhag. A minhag that you have already for cutting the hair from the Arizal. Whatever the story is, they believe the story is true, that his son, the first time he was there, happened to be 3 years old, they brought him to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and they cut the hair. What? So... Yeah, so he doesn't write that in Shar Kavanah, but that's what the, that's like a real hazard in the... What do you call it? Yeah, right. And everybody else writes that that's what he was talking about. I just thought it would be nice to take it from the source. But here in the Gavriel, and also in the, I just can't remember the name of it, the Chinuch Yisrael Sefer that I have, so that also he says that as well. Could be even an earlier source to this is the Radbaz. The Sheol Tshuvos of the Radbaz, Rav David ben Shlomo, so he was famous because of the fact that in 1492 he was kicked out of Spain. And he came to the Arab countries at the end of his life. I think he lived over 100. He ended up in Eretz Yisrael. So he was asked the following shaila, a very interesting shaila. Shelas yimei oidech da'ati b'misha nadar l'galeach es b'no b'makom Shmuel. So they went to Shmuel HaNovi's grave, right? We obviously know where that is today. What? So the, ba-dum-bum. They went to Shmuel's grave. So we pointed out before, this could be the marker of why they went, because of what we saw in Shmuel Aleph. And Shmuel HaNavi, by the way, I'm in charge of the corny jokes. So the Uvah V'mata Shekavar and the Chas V'yod Akom. So what happened? So he had this minhag to go ahead and he made a neder that when my son's 3 years old, I'm going to cut his hair by the Kever Shmuel HaNavi. Again, we understand why Dafka Shmuel HaNavi. And they turned out, guess what? The Arabs were whoever it was going ahead and not allowing Jews to go there. Right? So what should we do now? So is a neder, which I do, I'll trust all these things. Zok the Radvaz, Chuva Kvar Nogu, B'chol, Gilois, L'choshu Zeh, Neder Gomor. This is considered a neder, because everybody was doing this. Shehayu Ragilim. Everybody cut their child's hair at this place. Again, doesn't say straight out, but at this age of 3, v'eino roi l'hakelbo, right? It's considered mamish a neder. And obviously, you can't go and have the haircut there, because it's impossible. But again, teres nedarim and all these different things would have to be done. So we see already from the Radbaz that this is something that they did way back. And they went to the Kever Shmuel HaNavi, because that's probably the more of the original, certainly more than Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, even before that, because of what we said about Shmuel HaNavi, even though, according to what I told you, it's probably he was 2 years old, not 3 years old, but okay, into the, right, for those that hold five in a minute, into the third, the laser frame. Okay. So Chassidish Minhag as well, so we'll quote that. So, fine. So that's the Radbaz already. So again, so far, so good. So then we see the Be'er Heitev. Be'er Heitev as well. Again, a source at least that we see on the Mishnah Berurah daf. So the Be'er Heitev 1752, Rav Ashkenazi says as follows. He quotes, Mutter, Lishol Simchas, right, so he says that you're allowed to have the Simcha that they used to do, by Katim and Moid, Magalchin on day, Sefer Yisrael, according to Gan HaMelech. The Gios Rodim quotes already. The Ber Hetiv says that it was Mutter to have your hair cut on no other than Chol HaMoed, right, where it should not be allowed, right. So that's from a Sfarisha source, that it would be go ahead. The Ber Hetiv says that this would go ahead and be Mutter to do even on. This is the Sfarisha Minhag. As we see in source number 7, the Sheilas Teshuvas Pulas HaTzadik. Again, I don't like to quote things that are not so famous, but this is a very, it's famous when you heard of it before, but it's famous because of the fact that it is the Teimani Poisek, and the reason why it's famous to me is because I got a little education from Ranya Ish, because Baruch Hashem that there are so many Svarisha Poiskim, but unfortunately for us, we are not aware of any of them, and we should be more aware. The Svarim should become more popular, which unfortunately it has not become. So, the Pola Tzadik says over here, he says like this, he's quoting in the Minhag, so again, again, this is the source for the Teimani Hasidim, for the Teimani Svari Jews. So he says as follows: Rav Yechiya Salach is his name. The Inyan Aguas Hakatan. So he says, what do we do? So he says, Mutagalech, right? Hakatan B'Yontov. B'Yontov again. The source says we're talking about, of course, Chol HaMoed. Fine. And then he says, Al Pizeh Noegim LeGalech Gerushona Mitzvah Afilu Kaben Gimel or Ben Arba Shanim B'Parhesia. This was a whole shiloh within itself. It's considered through this mitzvah. You can have Klei Zemer. There's a shiloh about Klei Zemer on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, we know that we're Maker. We go to all these concerts. So among the issues of concerts on Chol HaMoed, besides the pritzos and all these other things that people like to invent, is really about Klei Zemer. Is it really mutter? So we said it's maybe probably shvus to shvus, because it's only nisud de rabbanon to play music on Shabbos, because Shem Yisakin Kli. So we seem to be makel on that. So he says it's even mutter. And again, he quotes it as one important point, is Sparhesia. There's a lot of tshuvas about the Sparhesia business. And that is there an inyan to do with Sparhesia? The Sfarim have a minhag. I did not get to call my Sfarisha poisek to ask, but that they used to do it in shul. So there were those who were very opposed to this minhag.
I think they still do.
So that's the way that I saw it was written, that the Sfarim do it. And the Sefer Shulchan Gavoa quotes this as a minhag. They used to do it, have a big thing in the shul, so others don't like this. That even though that this is the minhag, so people say that this is not true. The Steich Hammond, who was a Sfarish Apoisei, says, what do you mean in a shul? It's mamish a bazillion to base kenes, and you shouldn't be done in shul dafka. But this inyan we see already, so that the Pulitzetic says that it should be done dafka b'far hesya. And the truth is that it didn't quote it here, that he says it actually starts at the age of 2, not necessarily at the age of 3 or 4. Okay, that's the Sfarish Derech. So, to point out as well, the Rav Tupachinsky and the Luch Yushalayim, the Minhag Yushalayim, that this was a quoted Minhag of Yushalayim. Certainly the Minhag to go up to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that's well quoted, but he already quoted this idea of cutting the hair and going ahead and doing this in a public forum, in a shul, or in some place where, again, Barov and Hadras Melech. All part of course, the fact that the child should see and understand, hopefully, it's hard to say, at 3 years old, how much a child understands, but to remember this great party that they had for him and what the reason for the party was. Fine. So, the next question is, as I said before, about this inyan of Lag BaOmer. Okay? So the question is, should you dafka do it? Let's assume for a moment, for the half of the table that agrees with this, that it should be done, we should have a cutting of the hair. Now that's something that's good. The question is, when should it be done? Should dafka be done on the 3rd birthday? Can you do it before? Those questions. So,
has there been a direct reference to say that it has, so far, have we seen a 3rd birthday dafka?
I think that the sources seem to be that if you go according to Orla, so Orla, the Kodesh Elul Hashem comes on the 4th year of Mamish, and you have to know when that year is, because you have to know when the fruits have to, you know. I think so. I think there are more sources to say that. It doesn't dafka say, you're right.
The last
source for sure, 100%, 100%. He even says 2. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Very good. So that we'll see in source number 9. in a few minutes from now. The first one that was asked us was Arugat Habosem, the Chusarov, again pre-war. Interesting, the Chusarov's son, Rav Amram Taub, so he was a Rav in Arugat, I just happened to pass it when we were in Baltimore. There's a shul called the Arugat Habosem, and he's considered the Chusarov of Baltimore. The Satmar Rebbe asked him to go down there. He was Rav there for over 50 years. He just passed away in July of this year. And he was a tremendous amount of hashpa on the community there. He was the son of the Sefer. He writes about it as well. We see the Maharam Brisk quoted. I'm happy to quote tonight the Maharam Brisk so we understand who the Maharam Brisk was. So I know you're going to get upset. Oh, Brisk, well, first of all, you'll be very happy to see how he ends off. So he happened to be from the town of Brisk, but I didn't see any sources of it being a direct Brisker descendant. His last name was, he's called him Mordechai Brisk. But Mordechai Brisk was a rav of a town called, maybe somebody could tell me how to pronounce it, T-A-S-N-A-D. Yeah. Tasnad, I don't know. So, and he had a yeshiva there, Nebuch, the Tzareinu Rabim. Rav Mordechai Brisk was killed al Kiddush Hashem during the Holocaust, where Nebuch in Auschwitz, he was killed. He had a yeshiva at the time, right, a year before the war, had 400 students in the yeshiva. And just as a little parenthetical point, if anybody wants, I could send them a beautiful article about this whole idea. The yeshiva, they have a picture of the yeshiva, pre-war, obviously. So it says on the yeshiva, Nidvos, right, first of all, they had that before, right, it's not a new thing, that you have this building name. This is it, and it says the person who donated the building, his name is Rav Tali Feuerstein. So Tali Feuerstein's grandson was, his name was Aaron Feuerstein. He was famous. Anybody know who that is? Aaron Feuerstein was famous. I'll give you one more clue. He owned a company called Malden Mills.
In Boston,
and he was known. His grandfather was a tremendous Baal Staka, and the son, the grandson was probably given the bracha of also being rich because his father gave a tremendous money to Staka and supported this Maharam Brisk yeshiva. And when it burnt down, there was this unbelievable Kiddush Hashem, which was surprisingly even in the New York Times that this Orthodox Jew, even though it burnt down and he had no money and he begged the whole thing and he wasn't getting the insurance money right away, was paying all of the workers, not Jewish workers, were paying them so that they could have the money. What? Right, right. Right, so Mahamisha, unbelievable Kiddush Hashem story. Oh, it's going to have something related to that. So the Maharam Brisk was considered a Mahamisha Goyin Olam. Again, Nebuch, this is some, why it's not popular is because this is a pre-war tshuvas. And the pre-war tshuvas, so we kind of lost the flavor for it. I told you before, Rav Chaim Cohen made that comment to me that made me the real zinger. We used to have in the yeshiva, after Shacharis, we used to have the Chabura. So he never would come, but he said to me, so what are you talking about today? I told him what I'm talking about. So he's telling me a little bit more. So I said, Tzitz Eliezer says, he goes, you guys are so lucky you have the Tzitz Eliezer, you have Moshe Feinstein, you have Tshuvas HaHanogos. So you know there were Tshuvas written before that time, There were Tshuvas written pre-war also. Fine, so here's an example. The Maharam Brisk, obviously we'll do most of it outside because it's in Rashi print. So he says, like this, B'davar, we say, listen to the tshuva, right. Rosen Legalea Saro, Isha Kodim, right? So whatever it is, it's going into his eyes, he says, Kavedim Einav, Bimei Akayet, Gechom Hayom, right? We know what happens when it's very, very hot outside, speak to your wives about this, right? It's very, very difficult. Or maybe there's something where the doctor says, it'd be better if he cuts his hair, whatever. Shloshan Rutsufas. You need as Kaminog Yisrael Saba, the old minhag. Again, we are quoting a non-Hasidish source here. He says this was the established minhag for many, many years. Aval, Im Yadati Mechusa, right? Legalcho Mikozem, Ena Rosa, right? Lachim Zugosa, right? So let's just say somebody, I'm not going to say who, somebody in the family says, absolutely, we need to cut it right away. And he says, Minhag Yisrael, what should we do? So he quotes the Arugas Habosim, says that he doesn't like the Minhag, to cut it before, not a Minhag, the idea, Lo Hizkor Klal Minhag, Legalech HaZayeled, Belo Shloshim Shana, Rak Minhag, La'asois, Shinos B'Shas Megalchim HaZayeled. So he says, the Minhag, that's such a strong Minhag, but he actually poskins that, in fact, a person should, the Chazarov says, that a person should not do it early. But Shinagul Harbos Besimcha, the Hilo Rishona, right? It's a big party a person should make. That's a quota source, that's for sure. So he basically ends off by saying that If you look at the last paragraph, so he says, Mamash cuts the tape, he quotes in the Sechemet, this is his last part, Chachmei Kodem, Shanogos Yerushalayim La'asloi Simcha V'Eis, right, you should make a big Simcha when you cut the child's hair, Kena Mishta, Sha'oisim V'Eis, Asiyat Ha'ois Bris Kodesh, right, the Sechemet says, like Mamash, the Sudas Mitzvah that we have at the Bris, right, the Eitei caterers should now have 3-year caterers, V'Zoichrim Acher Oil, right, so this is a very, very thing, it's called Minog Yisrael, Torah, Shleima, Oil, V'Misha Rotze, Lameh, Al-Ama Baruch Yisrael, Saba, Lo, Yizazuz, right, he says, better to wait, whatever the thing is, the child's crying because it's in his eyes, it's better to wait, it's better to wait. However, I will point out that just because, let's say you do have to cut a child's hair, seems to be many of the poskim, even the Hasidish poskim say it's okay to cut the child's hair early, but that doesn't mean that he's passive from the upsharing part. Because you have to, let's say, cut the top of his hair going into his eyes, so you cut just a little bit of the bangs, so it doesn't mean that's it. You violated the isser of you know, of Orla, and then you can't have the party. You can still have the party. This was just done because you had to do it, right? There are very intricate, which we won't get into tonight, and we just, mamash, have no time, it's a yearly topic, could be, about the ways that the Hasidim do it, which I think, even though many of us think that we followed, you know, we had an upsharing, according to the Hasidim, you clearly didn't have an upsharing, because the whole point of the upsharing, the source of chinuch, somebody asked me, what's the source of chinuch in this, is to teach the child, when the child can start to speak, to understand the importance of having payas. And when they're talking about payas, they ain't talking about our payas. They're talking about they mamash shave the child's head and all they leave is the payas here and the twirly whirlies. And right. And that's it. And that's to teach the child's going to know a big difference in his hair. So that's a little bit different. And the whole way that they do it is mamash a whole, but forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way the child's hair has to be cut, the first we cut over here where the tefillin will be, and the all these different things. So we think, first of all, I'm very surprised, maybe I'm wrong about this, but there's no art school book on upsharing, right? This would be a great art school. It could make so much money, especially now that so many literature people have accepted this minhag of upsharing. I think it would do extremely well because there's so many, because people love minhagim. Like, you know, Baruch Hashem, my two sons had brises by the casting scenes. And the first time I made the mistake of going up there with the art school book with the whole Hinni Nimucha and the Mezumans, he goes, put that book down. I give everything you need to know is in this card. And no one has Baruch HaShem HaKayim Cholam. Right? He made me a literature person. So he made me a Yucky. So, and then Nebuch, I think for like a split second I was, you know, they made the bracha and I was like tearing for a second that when he made the bracha and he hit me and he goes, no! You know, you have to make the bracha and let's do it right away. Almost a brisk crisis. He should say brisk kodesh after if you don't do the bracha right away. Fine. The last tshuva is the tshuva is in August. We saw another tshuva in August about the brisk rav. Here's a different thing. It's a good summary to our shiur tonight. And Rav Sturmbach says as follows. Again, Rav Sturmbach, despite the fact that he might, this is sometimes people make the mistake, if you've ever seen pictures of Rav Sturmbach is now the head of the Eidah Haredis of Adas in Yerushalayim, so he looks very Hasidish because he wears a shtreimel and a bekesha. That's Minhag Yerushalayim. That doesn't make them Hasidim. People often make that mistake. When they see these people, they see Rav Yashev and Rav Shlomo Zalman used to dress like this. That was Minhag Yerushalayim. Everybody wears shtreimels, right? That doesn't make them Hasidish. He, again, as I said many times, Nidva Neched, he was related to the Gra, a direct descendant of the Gra. He learned by the Brisker Rav, so you can't get more Litzvish than this. So what does he hold? Question is, Yelich Aya Ben Gimel Shana B'Emsa Tammuz Im Negalech B'Lag Ba'Omer. He's not going to have his third birthday until much later on, a few months later. What do we do? So he says, Kosher Loris V'Dabar, Shastam B'Ein Zemakaris Ki Zavarei L'Tzorach. It's not, we fetched out some different Makaris, and Baruch Hashem, we spent 45 minutes on it, but it's not like a black and white, oh, the Ramah says, this is the way we pass it. Abba L'Maisa, Kan B'Chus L'Aris, Nirish V'Vadai Ein L'Shanos, Miyoma Bishanas Ben Gimel Shana V'Ein, right? If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, says, what's Lag B'Omer to you? Ah, you don't say Tachron. He says, he thinks, somebody else just said this before, that that's going to be the Chilah. Ben Chutz La'aretz, Ben Eretz Yisrael. Right? And L'Shanos, you should have a Tafka on the third, and a lot of Hasidic Rebbes hold this way as well. If you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you're in America, you're outside of Chutz La'aretz, have it when the child becomes three. Because again, it might go together with when the child's going to be brought into the Cheder, which is Tafka three. So, right, we know why Gimel, so he quotes the different reasons, I think many of which we saw before, although the grub, okay, again, all these different things that we quoted. Then he says, Sh'Rabbeinu Chazanish, Amar, Lo Lahaktim, Shazeh, Mazik, Lazikon HaYelet. Right? The Dafka, the third birthday is something special, and you should do it at that time, if you're going to do it. Well, the Maisa, Leish Yishamer, B'Yom HaDafka, should be on the day, Aval, the Eretz Yisrael, Sh'Rabim, Noisul, Miron, L'Safir, Alo Yesh, right, so the Gnisa, the Simna, Yehuda, the Simcha, Rabin, the Eina, Kodesh, Hashem, right? And even you could say, it's Barov of Hadash Melech, with so many people here, that's okay. Vechena, Kodesh Nog, the Noseel, the Meron, the Galech, the Lag Ba'Omer, he tells over the story as well. Kam Barov of Hadash Melech, Hainan, the Meron, the Lag Ba'Omer. So I understand in Eretz Yisrael they could go ahead and do that. He quotes in the name of a sefer, Teretz Kanim, Beishal Hosef, She Yitzimcha, La Simcha, right, Shomer Mitzvahs, Lo Yoda Dover Ra, okay, fine. That's why there's an important thing to do it there. Lachain, B'Mirom, Shafir Somrat, Zephanel, Achra, Yesh Nogim, Tafir Shama. It's good to do it there in Mirom, Ovi, and Mor. Shema, Tishkan, Horo, Kama, Admorim. B'chol, Nidon, Shalafi, B'chutzvar, Sha'ikr, Ha'ikr, Shalol, Lahakdim. However, outside, it's not good to do it. And this is quoted, the Shari Tshuva already quotes a minute that a person can go ahead and have the third haircut, even if it's on Chol Hamoed. Okay. So what we see is as follows. I hope you see what I see. And that is as follows. There are very good minhagim and good sources for this minhag. We saw the Medrash Tanakhuma just to start off, and we try to say that the Yakum Yam Lois, which we saw in the Ramah, based on the Barbanel as well, that there are two reasons for this minhag. One is to cut the child's hair because of Orla, right? That's the chief minhag of waiting for the cutting of the hair. But this idea of being machnis the child to start to say the osios of the Torah, as opposed to other things. So that could be two dinim. I know the reason why, but for a moment I'll entertain why is it that the Litvish people say, okay, we don't like the upsharing part of the cutting of the hair, and we won't call it upsharing, but when the child's three, we're going to have a really special party, right? So I said last week. So it could be because they don't like the whole thing. But we see the sources here. Even if you want to go like the Gra and make the party when the child starts talking at 1.5 or 2, so I think it's still a nice idea. We saw in the Tshuvas Hanogos that there were those like the Briskerov who didn't like this minhag altogether. We saw that there was an early source already quoted in the Arizal by Rav Chaim Vital. Already the Radbaz quoted this minhag. We saw this in earlier sources. The Gozel Shuvat Teiman quoted this source as well. The Pula Tzedek, the Ber Heitev quoted this minhag. And then, of course, the many Hasidic sources. We saw the Maharam Brisk, not a Hasidic person, who already quoted this early source as well in the times before the Shoah, and that this was an established minhag already midori doros, and that it shouldn't be changed, it should be dafka done on when the child is three, and not before. And she was one of us that says that when it comes to Lag BaOmer, it should only be done dafka if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you go to Maron, and the Admorim advise that a person should go ahead and not do it on Lag BaOmer and wait till the child's real third birthday. Bottom line is that whatever your minhag is, it seems to be a very nice minhag if you're following the minhag of cutting the child's hair when he is three. However, a person should be very careful as always to keep the elements of shalom bayis alive. And therefore, these are things that it's certainly not worth fighting for, because both minhagim are good minhagim. And you should, you know, if in a family has done for dori doros, if you've done for many, many years one way, so I don't know if it's the time now, just because you happen to know that your great-great-grandfather was a Hasidic Jew, so now you're going to go ahead and do the upsharing, and the parents are going to go crazy, and the grandparents are going to go crazy. Maybe that's not the smartest thing to do. Maybe you could do it in the privacy of your own home. There's nothing wrong with that either. But I guess someone will know when the child's good for 3 years. So, but again, both of the sources are very well-founded sources. It doesn't sit well with me why it hasn't become at least popular that when a child reaches the age of three or two, or whenever the child starts talking, that some simcha is recognized, or at least a tefillah should be said, that the child should be should go into the life of they're going into the life of Torah now, that it should be go into the appropriate in the right way, that the child should be mechanich in the appropriate way.